Blog Talk Radio.
Darn right it is. He's just in time for the squeak. Hi, hi, Fogsbane. Welcome. And anybody else that we can't see. Welcome to Eerie House Oldie Tiny Radio. That must mean it's Friday night, 6:30 a.m. p.m. Eastern. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Dave Bigley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here along with...
I don't know. I'm getting kind of choked up, Dave, because Gar, again, not feeling well. Hopefully he'll return next week or even, who knows, pop in tomorrow if he's feeling better. And we're hoping, of course, that he's better for Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul after our show tomorrow night. And who knows what will happen this evening. Hi, hi to CW. Why, is she here? I don't see her, Fogsbane. Can you see something I can't? Yeah, hi.
Anyway,
if you're listening in the archive, CW, welcome. If you're listening live, get in here. We can use you. But, yeah, it's all about throttling people, man. Strangulating. So it's like,
yep.
Gag me with a corn dog. Isn't that an 80s
oh,
thing?
Oh, okay.
Isn't that an 80s
or
thing? Cody. Gag me. Oh, totally.
Cody
gag me.
Or something like that, yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, the fine art of making someone stop breathing by brute force around the neck. All right, and now we got what? Mole Mystery Theater, The Creaking Door, which Dave worked on furiously to make it audible and clean it up as best
we
can. Keep in mind, these are old recordings, some of them, and being old media, it's got flaws, and it's difficult to find any copies, let alone good ones in some cases. But another show that there's lots of copies of is various episodes is Suspense. We also have Suspense tonight.
Yes, we do. And not that this is a real old one, but again, there aren't a whole lot of recordings, although there's more from South Africa than a lot of places. It seems like Australia has just a handful of them. They were very strong into it. But then again, South Africa kept their shows going so much longer because they really didn't get into television until the early 1970s. So,
yeah. So for entertainment, they still had to roll with radio a lot longer than the U.S. of A.
Yep.
That's where we're broadcasting from, in a particular place called Ohio.
Yep. And lucky for us, we actually wouldn't have probably had the Golden Age of Radio if it weren't for World War II. They took all the essential things and put them into the war effort, which stopped the development of television, or at least slowed it down quite a bit.
Yeah, so, I don't think there was a TV in every household, quote unquote, until probably into the 50s, no?
Probably until the late 50s, yeah.
Yeah.
I know my mother
like
didn't have
one.
The
one guy on the block had a TV, and that's where everybody went.
Yep, and that's what John Davison was telling me. His uncle had one. And he got it for the ball games and the boxing. And a lot of people would drop by and say, oh, you got a TV? You know, and invite
suddenly
themselves
you're
in
Captain
and sit down.
Yeah.
Invite
it's
themselves in for the timing.
It's amazing to think, too, Dave, even the big sets of the day had very small screens compared to even when we were growing up. You had those console TVs that had the stereos built in. I don't know if you folks remember those. Those things took up a side of a wall in your house.
Yeah, that's what we had when we started. We had that. It's a big old Curtis Mathis. It was a phonograph, an AM, FM radio, and a television. And you know what the problems with those were? Because, of course, those are the days you didn't throw something away and buy a new one. You got it fixed. Well, if you send it into the shop, guess what? You lost your entire entertainment of radio, television, and records.
Yeah, unless you had a small transistor, you were done. You were cooked. It was over. Because Dave and I, I think, had similar, at least somewhat similar economic upgrowings. You didn't have money to have TVs in every room. You didn't have radios all over the place, let alone computers.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to thinking the other day is, although we had dial-up when we started, my sons probably don't remember a time before there was an internet. Think of that.
Yeah. Yeah, my kids are, well, Rachel had them her whole life, but Michael, maybe he might remember a little bit of no computers. We got late into the game, into the mid-late 90s, a rudimentary computer-like device.
My first one was a Commodore 64. That was my first one.
mine was a Texas Instruments.
a TI 99?
No, I can't remember. I don't remember. It's been a long time. It was a TI something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I was in the finance game, I had a financial calculator. Everybody had those Hewlett-Packards. Those things could do a lot of neat things. You can
bet they could.
Different financial functions. But anyway, our function is to bring you oldie-timey radio, and we got a lot of it. Three of them.
We do.
So let's not choke on our big assignment today of bringing in the classics. Gar was kind enough to prepare us with his morals of the story, and we thought, in honor of Gar the Ghoul, we will do them in the order that he presented his morals. So why not start in South Africa, shall we, Dave?
That's right, yeah. A little interesting thing here. Of course, the creaking door is what Hyman Brown wanted to call the Inner Sanctum way back when he first created the show. The sponsor, didn't like it, although that's awful picky for a guy that sells diuretics. But anyway, he didn't like the creaking door, so he got the Hyman quickly jumped to get rights to call it Inner Sanctum, which the guy liked. He sold scripts over to Australia, which ended up, some of those programs and such ended up over in South Africa. South Africa then changed the name to The Creaking Door, where they stole scripts from everyone and claimed it as their own, but they had a few of their own as well.
The series ran from 1964 until 65, and according to Gar's Garculator, if the show did start on January 1st of 1964 and aired weekly nonstop, this is number 45, so it would have aired if this supposition has any truth to it. It was Wednesday, November 4th of 1964. Let's pretend it's true.
Absolutely. No reason not to.
That's right. And let's begin then with part one of The Creaking Door with an episode entitled Garf Strangler.
I have flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours. And ever in search of the finest
little hot,
of its kind,
little hot.
We bring you the tops in spine chillers. The Creaking Door.
Spine chiller like a tongue twister?
The manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Filter King cigarettes take pleasure in presenting The Creaking Door. Good evening, friends of The Creaking Door. The Creaking Door. No, not that way. Follow me. tremble. Be careful. It's very dark. You must be very careful that you don't tread on any corpse. It might be yours. Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3-5s today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders, and the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Move in world class. Get the taste of new, smooth State Express 3-5s today.
My dear.
Oh,
I feel much easier now. I'm not afraid.
Very well. I'll be back in a moment. Now be sure to stay right here.
All right, Wallace. Wallace? Is that you? I thought you went the other way. Why didn't you answer me? Please, Wallace. Editorial?
Miss Winston?
Yes?
You're the one who wrote those articles about the Strangler.
Yes, that's me.
Well, if you want some more information for your stories, drive out to Ronson Point immediately.
Who's speaking?
The man in the white scarf has just claimed his fourth victim.
What? What did you say? Alec, get on the other phone quickly.
All right.
Call the police. Ask them to trace the call.
All right.
Now, would you please tell me again what it was you said? Are you saying that another murder has taken place? Hello? Hello? Oh, don't bother about the call, Alec. He hung up.
What's it about, does he?
The Strangler in the white scarf.
What?
The man on the phone gave me a tip on the fourth victim. It may be a crank, but I'm going to make sure. Ronson Point, he said.
Dorothy, you can't go out there, but don't you realize that it might have been the Strangler himself who telephoned you? I wanted to get even with you for the stories you wrote.
Yes, Alec. It has occurred to me. And that's the reason we're going out to Ronson Point right away. After all, it must have been the Strangler.
Look, Dottie, a white scarf tied around her neck, strangled the same way as the others. We'd better call the police.
Yes, Alec, we'd better. The same path. Perhaps Dr. Hirschman was right after all.
Who's Dr. Hirschman?
A psychiatrist. He has a theory that the Strangler either visited or read a great deal about Northern India.
India? What's that got to do with murders?
Many years ago, there was a caste who killed their enemies by strangling them with strips of white cloth. The cloth was knotted and pulled in the same manner as that white scarf around the woman's throat.
Just a moment. Over there.
Where?
Behind that row of trees. I thought I saw something move. Something white.
Oh, Alec.
I'm not sure, but we're not taking any chances. Come on.
Alec, this isn't the way to the car.
I know.
Then where are you taking me?
That light over there, through the bushes.
Into the house?
Yes, perhaps. Let's run for it. That strange sound. I wonder what it is.
Oh, I don't know. It seems to be an animal of some kind. I've
never heard anything like it before.
That's my pet tiger.
You live here?
Yes, with my brother.
We're looking for a telephone now. I'm Dorothy Winston, a reporter from the Tribune.
I don't care where you're from. You're trespassing on private grounds. You'll please leave immediately.
But someone's been murdered.
She found her body on the beach.
You'll do as I told you. Get off these grounds. My brother is ill. Much too ill to be.
Wallace!
Go back to the house, Ralph.
Oh, Wallace, I've been looking for you. Where have you been?
You know very well I've been out here feeding the tiger.
I thought perhaps you went back to the place
Ralph,
where the...
You shouldn't be out here. You know what the doctor said about the night here. Now go back to the house.
But who are these people, Wallace?
The young lady is a reporter, Ralph. A reporter from the Tribune.
I'd like to use your phone, but your brother won't let me.
I didn't want to disturb you, Ralph.
I won't be disturbed.
Then I suppose it's all right to make the call now, Mr...
Grimsdale. Very well. We'll take you to it. Come along.
Mm-hmm.
if you're a reporter, I suppose you want to phone your paper about it. Wallace, my arm, you're hurting.
Forgive me, Ralph, if I held you too tightly. You know how unsteady you've been lately. I didn't want you to fall.
You squeezed my arm because you didn't want me to talk.
Now, really, Ralph, you have these people believing I'm some sort of monster. You're free to say anything you please. You know that. Say anything you wish. You see, you've nothing to say.
Oh, Wallace, please forgive me. I'm just upset because you've left me alone so much tonight.
But I haven't left you alone, Ralph. I don't know why you say such things. I've been in the house with you all evening. Don't you remember?
Oh, yes. Now I remember. You've been with me all evening in the house.
I think you're strong enough now to take these people to the phone. I'm going to go outside a while and finish feeding my pet.
Yes, Wallace. This way, please.
You go with this gentleman, Alec.
But Dottie...
She's Alec. Telephone for me.
All right, but hurry.
What do you find to be so amusing, Mr. Gwynsby?
I find the obvious very amusing, Miss Winston. You stayed behind to watch me. Isn't that correct?
Yes, in a way.
Don't you think you're acting a bit rash?
Perhaps, but that tiger of yours out there fascinates me.
Oh?
It's quite a rare species of tiger, isn't it?
I didn't realize you're an expert.
I have reason to know about that particular breed of tiger.
Reason?
You have been to India, haven't you?
No.
You're lying.
I'd be a bit more careful of what I said if I were you, Miss Winston.
You're not fooling me, Mr. Grimsdale, with that alibi of yours.
Now, look here.
You were on the beach earlier this evening.
Ridiculous.
You've changed your suit. You've changed it because the other one had a piece torn out of it. I found that piece on the beach, next to that woman's body.
Now you're lying.
Am I? For your information, Mr. Grimsdale, I have that torn piece right here in my hand.
Give it to me.
Oh, I can't. Don't let it.
Open your hand.
Oh, don't open
it.
Oh, wait. All right, I'll open it.
I knew you were lying. There's nothing in your hand.
Of course not. But I found out what I wanted to know.
No? What are you talking about?
The way you knotted my scarf, Mr. Grimsdale, and the way you tightened it around my throat. That's all I wanted to know.
Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3-5s today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders. And the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Move in world class. Get the taste of new, smooth State Express 3-5s today.
Good old Bob joins us here as we are midway through our story from the creaking door. Boom. South Africa. Dave, are you with me? David. Hey, looks like I'm flying solo.
I guess it helps when you. I guess it helps when you take your microphone off mute, huh?
There you go. I turned you off on my side.
I guess you didn't even hear this. There you go.
Oh, fortunately, I did. I heard it on your way. Into the creaking door. thankfully, because I got to have my goat fix from time to time.
Some people need goat milk. Dale needs goat screams. Yeah,
that's right. Yep. I do. I become a goat junkie. Yeah. If such a thing could be.
Yeah. That must be. You know, just like a strangler, just be really boastful and everything, you know?
Yeah, this guy's a pretty audacious, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, smart aleck. That's all right. Hopefully the bad guy gets his. We'll find out.
Eventually here as we close out this particular episode.
Yeah, I forgot. You know, I feel terrible that we forgot to mention our sadness at the passing of Riku Browning. The creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah,
really,
that's
the
right.
The last great universal monster.
Yeah.
He was a diver. He was a pioneer with underwater photography. I know he directed and did a lot of work with the television show Flipper. And
Gar showed that Flipper episode about 3 weeks back, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to admit, the creature from the Black Lagoon had some great underwater photography. All three of the early ones.
Yeah, it did.
Not so much the last one, because he walks among us, but the first two had a lot of great photography. And
was that him that was actually the sea creature in the...
I think a few divers might have played him, but yeah, Riku Browning was in the costume, did a lot of the, you know, he had to hold his breath a long time. Some of those shots were pretty long of him following Jane Addams around, swimming under there. That one great scene of her just swimming across the surface and he's upside down, you know, following along directly below her. That was a great scene.
Yeah.
Well shot and very artistic, I thought, of the creature's fascination for her.
It's amazing what some guys can train themselves to. I know that Harry Houdini was able to hold his breath at least for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Underwater.
Well, he's held it a lot longer since then, but.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus. That's called oxygen tanks.
Yes. Been holding his breath since the 30s now, I think.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Geez, that's awful. I'm so sorry. Too soon,
yeah.
God. You know I'm going to hell.
Well, that's okay. We'll be there with our best friends, you know?
That's right. I'll have a lot of company. I was just thinking, you know, did you ever hear the Rainbow Bridge?
The Rainbow Bridge?
Yeah.
In New York there, it crosses to Canada, Rainbow Bridge?
No.
Okay.
Like when a pet passes, sometimes people
say,
a pet
passes,
sympathy
that Rainbow
card,
Bridge, sure.
Yeah, it's supposed to be where, you know, in the afterlife, you're reunited with your beloved pet or pets. When Denise and I go, that bridge is going to collapse.
I'm telling you.
She's had a ton of animals in her life. I've had quite a few. And I know in her case, they all love her to death. So that's going to be one crowded bridge. It may collapse. They better get extra suspension on that bridge. That's all I got to say. Hopefully we won't have to worry about that for a long time.
Hopefully not. Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good at the moment, so hey, why not?
So am I. Why don't we find out what's going on, if this guy's going to get away with all this or not, as we wrap up the creaking door, the White Scarf Strangler.
Porter and her boyfriend weren't very clever, were they?
as they say in the classics, a torn suit on the beach is worth two in a tiger's cage. But let us proceed with our tale.
Grim, sir.
What are you doing here?
Looking for you.
I suppose it's your turn to keep cat from me now, is it?
Dottie told me you tried to choke her with the scarf. Why did you run away? You knew I called the police.
Run away? Really? You're talking nonsense. I have nothing to fear from the police.
Where do you think you're going?
I'm going back to the house to tell no news.
What news are you talking about, Grimsdale?
The fact that you and Miss Winston are outrageous liars.
What?
I looked all along this section of the beach. I found no trace of a woman's body.
You're just saying that. It's a trick you're trying to pull. The body's over there by those rocks, and you know it.
Lying, am I? Then go and see for yourself.
I will.
Believe me, Lansing, you're just wasting your time.
It's gone. What did you do with the body, Grimsdale? What? But where did he go to? Where did he...
visit me here in my prison cell.
You seem very much at ease, Mr. Grimsdale, for a man who has so little time to live.
Oh, I don't know, Miss Winston. I've an idea. I'll live longer than you will.
Don't you think it's a little late for you to threaten me?
Miss Winston, you're meddling in something that shouldn't concern you.
Alec Lansing was my fiancé.
You'd do better to let the police capture his murderer.
They already have.
They won't keep me here another 24 hours. And when I'm free, Miss Winston...
Oh, you can't frighten me. Janice Craig's body was found this morning in a clump of bushes.
Very interesting.
Good afternoon, sir. You can go now.
But you can't let this man go.
Now, look, miss. I've got my instructions. This way, Grimsdale.
Just a moment.
Oh, you have something else to say, Miss Winston?
I haven't given up, Mr. Grimsdale. I prove that you murdered Alec and the others. It's the last thing I ever do.
I see. Well, Miss Winston, who knows? It might very well be the last thing you will ever do.
Miss Winston, thank heavens you're here. I was afraid you wouldn't come.
You said it was a matter of life and death.
Oh, it is, believe me. My brother Wallace lied to the police, and he made me lie for him, too.
What do you mean?
He told you and the police he was in the house with me all evening, but he wasn't. I was the one who telephoned you that night.
I thought it was your voice, but I wasn't sure. Go on.
Wallace was out with Janice that night. I saw them walk toward the beach.
Why did you call me instead of the police?
I was afraid to call the police. Afraid of what Wallace might do to me.
I see.
He'd kill me if he thought I was talking to you like this. But I just had to tell someone. I just had to.
Did your brother tell you why he wanted you to lie to him?
Yes, but I didn't believe him.
What reason did he give you?
He said he had nothing to do with Janice's murder. But there was no way of proving his innocence. He was afraid he would be found guilty if I didn't do as he told me.
I see. Tell me, Ralph. Your brother's been to India, hasn't he?
Why do you ask me that?
Please answer my question.
Yes. We lived in the Punjab for 5 years.
I thought so. When I saw the tiger in that cage, I...
What's the matter?
The tiger. It isn't there now.
The cage is empty.
Your brother must have taken it away.
Yes, Miss Winston, I did.
Oh, Wallace.
I took it away because, unfortunately, it's dead. It was shot.
Wallace, I...
What
I,
do you say, Ralph?
I didn't say anything. Not anything.
Go into the house immediately.
Now, wait a minute.
Are you meddling again, Miss Winston?
I'm going to protect the Crown's key witness in the case against you, Mr. Grimsdale.
So, Ralph You told her?
Yes. Yes, I told her. I told her everything. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care because
now,
I...
Stop that. Stop that. Stop that.
You're through giving orders to anyone, Mr. Greenfield.
Put that gun away, you fool.
Don't you dare move. I promise if you do, I'll fire. Ralph, hurry. Call the police. I'll keep him here until the police arrive.
Ralph, don't do it.
Call the police, I say. He'll kill you too if you don't.
Yes. Yes, he will. I'll call him right away.
Ralph.
Ralph, come back.
He'll be back, Mr. Greenfield, with the police.
You're making a mistake.
There's no mistake about you now. Not after what your brother told us.
For all you know, I may just have been trying to protect Ralph. It's obvious how strange he is.
It's too late to blame it on him.
But I'm innocent, and I can prove it if you'd only give me half a chance.
Like the chance you gave my Alex?
I wasn't anywhere near Lansing when he was killed. I ran away and left him alone on the beach.
And I suppose the same thing happened with Janice Craig.
I was in love with Janice. I was going to marry her. Ralph was always afraid that he'd be left alone.
Oh, you can't make me believe that, Mr. Greenfield.
Just give me some kind of a chance, Miss Winston, before it's too late for both of us. I admit I was with Janice that night. But I didn't do it. I couldn't have done it.
What do you mean you couldn't have?
I'll show you why if you go with me to the place it happened.
Do you think I'm that foolish?
I know, Miss Winston. You want to find your fiancé's murderer. But you'll never find the killer if they convict me. Please. Please. Give them the chance to prove to you who the real killer is. Before it's too late.
All right, Mr. Greenfield, I'll give you just this one chance.
Janice and I were standing just about here on the beach.
Yes, go on.
Janice was frightened.
She had good reason to be.
Please. You said you'd give me a chance to explain.
All right, continue. But remember, I'll fire this gun on the slightest provocation.
Janice had just made mention of the mysterious strangler. She felt a sudden chill. So I placed my scarf over her shoulders.
A white scarf?
Yes, I've always had a preference for white scarves.
Like the one you're wearing now?
Huh? I didn't realize I'd put it on this evening.
Perhaps, Mr. Greenfield, you do many things you don't realize.
You think I'm insane?
You don't have much time left, Mr. Greenfield. Go on with your explanation.
But as I said, I took off my scarf and placed it over Janice's shoulders like this.
No, you don't.
But Miss Winston...
Get your hands away from me.
But I...
Put that scarf back where it is.
Well, but I only wanted to show you what happened.
I knew it would be something like this, Mr. Greenfield. I knew you wanted to get me down here on the beach so you could kill me like you did the other five.
No, no, Miss Winston, that isn't the reason. Out of those five people, Janice was the only one I knew. I couldn't possibly have a motive for killing the others. They were total strangers to me.
Psychopathic murderers very often kill without motive.
Yes, I know. That's why I wanted to tell you about Ralph. A person like him might kill only for the thrill it gives him.
Do you have anything more to tell?
Yes, just one more thing. Janice told me that she'd lost her bag. I started back along the beach to look for it.
Yes?
It was difficult finding anything because of the fog. I went about 100 yards.
Yes?
Then I gave up the search. I returned here and found Janice strangled to death with my scarf. I returned to the house immediately because I knew I'd be blamed for this.
Wait.
What is it?
Over there, beside the rock.
It looks like a woman's handbag.
Come on. It is a bag.
It's Janice's missing bag. You'd better pick it up, Miss Winston.
No, no. You pick it up.
You still don't believe me.
Pick it up, I said.
All right. I will. I don't know why you don't trust me now. You have the gun and nothing to... I smoke. I knew you couldn't resist another victim, Miss Winston. I knew.
That's where you're wrong, Mr. Greenfield. Entirely wrong. There are other ways of committing murder. I just wanted to feel the scarf tighten around your neck just for a moment. Get up.
And I knew it was you. I just had to prove it.
How did you know?
That night I ran from the beach. I saw a woman at the edge of the woods. A woman wearing a white scarf like you're wearing now, Miss Winston. I followed you back to town, to your office. That's where the police were wrong. They were looking for a man, and all the time it was a woman.
But they'll never know. After I kill you with a gun with which I killed the tiger, it'll be all over. There'll be no more strangling.
No, Miss Winston. You couldn't stop killing any more than you can stop breathing.
I know exactly what I'm doing. I'll tell the police you tried to murder me like you did the others, and I had to shoot you in self-defense. And after the gunshot, it'll all be over. Finished.
I have to wait, Wallace, until you've moved out of the line of fire. She's dead.
Yes, love. Just as she said. After the gunshot, it will be all over. Completely finished. Let's go back to the house. The taste of new smooth State Express 3-5s today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders, and the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke.
South African cigarette, sorry. Oh dear. American ones are rough too. Good evening, Erie House Radio probably presents Scarless. Moral of the story. Hit it, Dave.
Hit Dave. All right. As Gar would say, every jeweler knows a strangler's favorite piece of jewelry is a choker. There we go. That's what he got. Or gold case. Got Slim going there.
Ah. A little Faygo moon mist. Does the trick.
Yeah, I have a hard time finding that in diet.
I can only find it in cans at the local grocery store.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And I can only find diet orange in the 20-ounce bottles at the other group. We're so big, we got two grocery stores, man.
Wow. Ooh, by golly. You got a convenience store, too, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I reached out to Faygo. I'm like, do you have Diet Wild, a black cherry? Because they have a black cherry, but they don't have it in diet. Darn it.
Yeah. I usually sit there here at my media center desk with a 2-liter of a diet drink. That's right now I'm looking at a Pepsi Zero Sugar Wild Cherry. Ooh.
Is that good?
It's okay.
Yeah. I have not sampled that yet. No, when I want my black cherry fix, I have to buy this stuff called Sheer Wine, and it's great because it's in a glass bottle, but it's not great because four little, 10-ounce bottles, $7.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It doesn't take long. For to break the bank on the soda pop, so you gotta be careful.
Well, no, that's a treat. That's like semi-annual. Break that up.
Ah,
but it's good stuff.
Every time I walk through a store and I see that cherry wine there, I think of you, Dale, and say,
yep.
You don't have this one, do you?
I have it in regular and unleaded. I mean, diet.
Yeah, and unleaded. Yeah.
Right. So more choking. I'm doing my fair share from
You are doing your fair share right now.
I've been strangled by the Philip Morris company. That's what I was. I'm
saying. Yes. Well, at least they're, you know, they may be claiming that the South African are the smoothest you can find, which actually doesn't really mean a whole lot. But at least they're not calling them healthful like some other cigarettes almost claim, you know?
Yeah, they have in the past. 9 out of 10 doctors are hacking on some Camels. Okay. Nice. I'm not saying they're healthy. They're for me. God. That's a left-handed endorsement if I ever heard one.
Well, but you're left-handed, so it's okay.
I like this next show that we're going to play. I like Mole Mystery Theater. I even like saying Mole Mystery Theater.
Yeah, from the good old Mole Shaving Cream Company, yes.
Mm-hmm. Could only find one radio ad. Could only find one radio ad. Like, there's some shows like Suspense. You can find all the newspaper ads for Suspense all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
But Mole Mystery
yeah.
Theater was a hard one to find, and there's only one that I know of.
Well, I'll have to get on the stick and look for some for you, see if I can find any.
Yeah, which if you're looking in the
slideshow,
you can see it.
As we look at different places for these things. Yeah. But, yeah. It is an interesting show. Jeffrey Barnes is your host through this series, and he's kind of a mystery aficionado. But he's that's no more his real name than Raymond, Mr. Host Raymond was. You know, his first name was Raymond, but Raymond Johnson was his name. But he was never went by. He was just Raymond, your host. So.
One of my faves, as you know.
Yes, he is. And you know what? Not getting that gig for him on that gave him so many more opportunities to act and to host on so many other shows. So it might have been a mixed blessing for him that he did not return to that was steady employment and everybody loved him. But Paul McGrath even followed Raymond into at least 3 or 4 CBS Radio Mystery Theaters. I don't think we played any of them yet, but there are 3 or 4, at least 3 or 4 of them. The Paul McGrath who replaced Raymond acted in the Mystery Theater.
Cool. Now this program has an interesting title, The Creeper, and I'm wondering if it follows the story that was Rondo Hatton played a strangler in a movie called The Creeper. Really the movie that put him on the map. An interesting looking fellow whom they named certain awards after. In fact, one of our friends, Arachna, has been nominated for a Rondo. As horror host of the year. Possibly. So good luck to Arachna.
Very cool.
Of the spider people.
Absolutely.
She's absolutely cool. She's visited us before too. We need to get her back here.
We need to get her back. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It'd
now
be
this
fun to have her in as a guest.
This episode we have an air date, don't we, Dave?
We do have an air date. It comes to us from, I think it was on ABC originally. It comes to us from March 29th of 1946.
Ooh. It has a long trailer to it, apparently.
It does have a long trailer. Sorry about that.
Hey, no worries.
And now the Mole Mystery Theater, presented by M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skin.
Good evening. This is Jeffrey Barnes, welcoming you to the program that presents the best in mystery and detective fiction.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Tonight's play is a modern melodrama with the emphasis upon terror and suspense. It's entitled The Creeper, and is the story of a mysterious killer of that name, an unknown madman who terrifies an entire city by a series of murders. And just who is the creeper? Well, answering that question is the challenge of tonight's play. And Joseph Ruskell, the author, has cleverly fashioned a story deliberately designed to fool you. So be on your guard. You've had fair warning.
Gee, Mr. Barnes, I'm scared before we even get started. Oh, and say, that reminds me. Men, if just the thought of shaving gives you the willies because you have wiry, hard-to-cut whiskers or tender skin, try this. Shave with Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream. Yes, sir, with Mole, it's smooth. So smooth. It's slick. So slick. It's a smooth, smooth, slick, slick shave you get with M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless cream for tender skins. That's right. Mole is the shaving cream that's heavier, the cream that's especially good for a wiry, hard-to-cut beard or a tender skin. Because Mole is heavier, it not only softens your whiskers, it stands them up straighter and your razor clips them off clean as a whistle. So you shave faster, closer, easier, and you shave painlessly with Mole, the heavier brushless cream for tender skins. Mole. And now for tonight's Mole mystery, the creeper. In the kitchenette of a New York apartment, a man and his wife listen to a morning news broadcast.
New York. The unknown killer called the Creeper has struck again, adding a third female corpse to his toll. Virginia Peters, a comely waitress, was found strangled to death in her third-floor apartment early this morning while her radio blared. As in the previous murders, a note was found scrawled on the wall with the victim's lipstick and the plea, "For heaven's sake, catch me before I kill more. I cannot control myself." Police insist...
Oh. Why'd you turn it off?
How awful. How awful. And in this very neighborhood.
Let's hear the rest. It intrigues me.
Oh, you. Don't go turning that radio on against Steve Grant. I've heard enough. Go out of my mind, for heaven's sake.
That's it. That's a good, solid clue.
What is?
For heaven's sake. How many men ever use that expression?
Oh, shut up.
Okay, Mrs. Grant. Pass the biscuits, my little pigeon.
Pass the biscuits. Eat, eat, eat. Three women in 3 days murdered in cold blood by a mad fiend right here in the Heights. I'm too sick to go out, too scared to stay in. The locks broke. And he sits there eating, eating. Pass the biscuits.
There's nothing wrong with my appetite, my love.
Well, of course. That's what cost you your job on the police force. Why, when I even think of it.
Some men drink to escape. I eat.
Escape what? What?
An ugly tongue, a beautiful face, and a roving eye. In short, a wife.
You're starting that again. You and your crazy jealousy.
Maybe that's the creeper's way of escaping, too, Georgia. No.
Oh, shut up. Go ahead and get a divorce. Go ahead. Can I help it if men look at me? I don't know why you come home at all. Where do you go? What do you do with yourself? Where were you this morning, and why'd you come back anyway?
To eat. Someday I'll lose my appetite for that, too. When I do, my dear. There'll be no escape. Well, now I'm off again. Kiss. Still using stage lipstick. I'll wipe it off. How many times would I tell you? You're married now, remember?
Steve, wait.
Yeah?
At least go buy me my medicine.
Sorry, no time.
Oh, don't leave me here alone. Stay home this afternoon. Please. I'm afraid.
Oh, don't be silly, pet. Nothing will happen to you. You've a doorman here, an elevator boy, Mrs. Stone across the hall, a phone. You're safe enough.
Yeah, but the night lock, it doesn't work.
Well, now you can't lock me out anymore.
Something's happened to it since last night. It doesn't catch.
I'll get a new one.
Well, I can't get a locksmith. I've tried all morning. Oh, please. Oh, all right. If I want to phone you, where will you be?
Out. Goodbye, my dear. Take care of your cold.
Thank you.
Steve Grant, huh? Well, if it isn't old Pearly Chase.
You got thrown off the force, Steve.
You got thrown off the news, Pearly.
You heard wrong. I wasn't fired. I was just warned.
Well, I wasn't fired either. Just suspended for 3 days. I eat too much. That's my trouble.
I drink too much. Here, you're living up at the Heights, Steve.
Yeah.
That's funny. Me too. Here, you're married now to a beautiful and lovely young... with admiration.
I can say that again. Used to be on the stage, you know.
Yeah, I think I knew her. Wasn't her stage name Georgia Dixon?
No, that's her. I love that wench, but... women. How does a guy handle them? Maybe the creeper has the right method.
Thank you for taking the words right out of my mouth. Who is the creeper, Steve? Any angles?
You tell me, and I'll split the reward with you.
There's one thing, though, and I don't think even the police have put it together yet.
Yeah?
In all three cases, just before the creeper struck, the door locks had already been tampered with.
Oh, say.
Yeah. You got a theory?
Well, sure. I mean, take that note on the wall. For heaven's sake. In every case, for heaven's sake, catch me before I kill more.
I cannot control myself.
Right. Now, what man uses an expression like that? The long and short of it is this. The creeper is a woman.
A ruse. Just like the height of the message from the floor's a ruse. 6 feet. And yet I'll lay you odds. The creeper's no more than a guy your height, say, or mine. 5'9", just like us, you and me. Only, crazy.
How do you figure that?
How do I figure lots of things? How do I know where the creeper's gonna strike next?
You do?
Certain. The creeper's not so smart. He's just crazy. You play along crazy, see, and you're one jump ahead of him. That's the trouble with the police, why they're up a tree. You expect logical clues from a madman? No. You play along crazy. Make out you're the creeper. What's your compulsion?
Go ahead. Let's see.
All right. The victims are all redheads, every one. You've noticed that, of course. 3 in 3 days.
Now that you...
They all lived in the Heights, right? Agnes Martin, Jane Krutsky, Selma Davis.
Right.
What was the number of the apartment in each case? Agnes lived in 1A. Jane, 2B. Selma, 3C. Don't ask me the why or the wherefore. Don't ask me the logic. Just play along crazy. You see what I mean? See where he's going to strike next?
I don't get what
you... The next victim of the creeper lives in the Heights. She's a redhead. A night lock's been tampered with. She's going to get hers today. And her apartment number is... 4D. Well, why are you staring at me? You don't like my arithmetic? Why are you staring?
My wife's a redhead, Pearly. We live in the Heights. Our apartment number is... you're just a boozy reporter.
Your apartment number?
4D, I told you.
4D, of course. I'll have it delivered. I was busy admiring your lipstick, Mrs. Grant. I've nothing like it in stock. 4D, I should have guessed it anyway.
Why?
Face is a number, believe me. Since you've moved into the neighborhood, Mrs. Grant, for me, it has a special number, like Double Dandy Delicious Dream, 4Ds. You see?
Uh-huh. I'll bet you tell that to every customer, female.
I'm a ladies' man, like the creeper?
Huh?
What did I say? What's going on in this block? Raw nerves, you can't joke. The creeper, that's all I hear all day. It's mass hysteria. Oh, there ain't such an animal.
You don't think so?
I assure you, Mrs. Grant, it is a fairy tale. For circulation of the tabloids. I'll send your prescription up with the boy.
Oh, no, I'll just wait here for it.
It'll take some time. You should go right home and stay there if you're getting over the flu. Believe me, I'll deliver it myself. It'll be a pleasure.
No, I'll wait. I may not go right back. I don't want to be there all alone. I'm afraid.
Oh, very well. Suit yourself. Have a seat. For heaven's sake, stop me before I kill more.
What?
I cannot control myself. Wait! That's Creeper's note I had reference to.
I'll fetch a pen. Wait, Mrs. Bancroft, the scripture.
Grant, I'm in the Grant. Oh, Sandwich is down.
What's your hurry, dear?
I just got such a scare. Since all these awful murders in this neighborhood.
Yes, isn't it terrible? You're walking home?
Huh, I guess so.
I'll go with you. It's good we live in the same house.
At least if I had a double lock. But the night one doesn't work. Can't get a locksmith. They're all so busy.
But don't you worry. We'll stay together this afternoon till our husbands come home. Think of it. We've never visited, though we live right across the hall from each other. Isn't that like a big city, for heaven's sake? Or would you rather I dropped in on you?
Well, I...
And make it yours, then. Isn't it terrible, the ghastly things they're saying, the theories? One doesn't know what to expect next. You believe the latest?
The latest?
That maybe it's the woman, the creeper.
A woman?
Can you beat it? I can't imagine how in the world the police figured that, for heaven's sake, can you?
Well, I don't know. I was just thinking of something my husband said.
Though I can see where a married woman now, if her husband was faithless, say, or perhaps only weak, no will of his own against a vile, cheap thing in skirts. And if the wife, say, was merely getting at those female homebreakers. Well, I can understand such a theory, because you take my husband now. You've met Mr. Stone, haven't you? Why, Mrs. Grant, why on earth are you staring at me like that, for heaven's sake?
I don't feel well. I must get home at once. I feel faint.
But Mrs. Grant, for heaven's sake.
As the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Mole Mystery, the big question is the creeper a man or a woman? Come to think of it, a man wouldn't use the expression, for heaven's sake, would he, Dan?
Well, no, Mr. Barnes, but there are times when he might say a lot worse. For instance, sometimes he's apt to say something like, gee...
Watch your language.
Well, I was only going to say, jeepers, I'd rather face a firing squad than shave. And say, man, if that's the way you feel about your morning shave, chances are you've got wiry whiskers or a tender skin. So try Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins, and get a shave that's smooth as a waltz. Yes, Mole is a heavier cream, the cream that not only softens your whiskers, but holds them up like a blade of grass and lets your razor mow them down easily. With Mole, you shave faster, closer, easier, and you shave painlessly. Try it and see if you don't say, it's smooth, so smooth, it's slick, so slick. It's a smooth, smooth, slick, slick shave you get with M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins. Mole. And now back to Jeffrey Barnes and Act Two of The Creeper.
Whorehound, good old Bob. I haven't seen whorehound candy in a long time.
Huh.
It's a good thing for a sore throat.
Okay.
Irritation of the throat. Like, say, from the devil eating tobacco, for example.
I was going to say, you need that after that good old South African tobacco there.
Yeah, some American tobaccos, too. All of them at a
Oh, no, ours
point.
Is much... Ours was much healthier than theirs. We have the doctors to prove it.
Yeah, 9 out of 10. Well, we would ask them.
9 out of 10.
Because that was a long time ago. Long time ago.
A long time ago.
Far away. Yeah.
And far
away. The Surgeon General in the 60s said, no more advertising on billboards and magazines and television.
Yep. Yeah,
they made them put the stickers on there.
The youngsters, they were still in magazines. Are they banned from magazines now too, or not?
I thought they'd been out of magazines for a while. Could be
because they started using that Joe Camel guy, which they turned into a real cool looking young camel. And
well, that
they,
was
again,
an
got
advertising
for...
campaign. They had little premiums, and they had Joe Camel's picture on them. And if you saved up a bunch of them, I actually got a nice leather jacket from. From Camel. because I used to smoke Camel Lights.
Yeah, the perfect thing to put cigarette burns in, yeah.
But they thought it was a cartoon character appealing to kids. I don't know.
That's what they were saying. But, you make it look
that's
cool.
That's a bit
that's
of a stretch for me,
eat.
But there's something to it, too, at the same time, you know.
It would be a stretch for me, but that sounds like that would be exercise, so I'm not going there.
Yeah, let's not do that. Too much work. I'm going blind. Mother was right.
Your mother warned you. Hey, well, I'm curious to get back to see who this creeper, a man or woman, or is it bigger than a bread box?
Or if it were a more modern story, maybe something in between. But we'll find out in The Creeper from Mole Mystery Theater.
Georgia Grant is in terror that she is to be the next victim of a mad killer known as the Creeper. She suspects everyone she meets, both men and women. Now, in panic, she dashes through the streets, unnerved after an encounter with a neighbor, Mrs. Stone.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Oh.
Out shopping?
Oh, you're the new doorman, huh?
Yeah, just relieving Charlie. Nice weather out. Help you with your packages?
No, thank you.
Let me ring the elevator for you.
No, you don't have the trouble.
Oh, no trouble, ma'am. There. Apartment 4D, huh?
Yes. How'd you know?
Doesn't take long.
Going now?
Yes.
Up and down. The ups and downs of life, that's me. I'm a living milkshake, Mrs. Grant.
What's wrong, Jimmy?
Stuck. Imagine getting stuck between the second and third with a production like you.
Get going, Sonny. Do you want me to report you?
Okay. Can't you take a joke? Maybe I misconstrued that smile you always give me. Maybe you shouldn't ought to smile that way. Fourth floor.
Let me out.
If I drop in later, would you be more receptive?
Oh, thank goodness it'll last. Must be going out of my mind. Key. Where's my key? This darn lock. Is the locksmith in yet? Well, I want to know how soon I can get my lock changed. Yes, of course I left my order.
Hello, Georgia. Don't kill that little foolish me. You want the whole house to hear? Hey, that's better.
What are you doing here?
I'm playing along crazy.
What are you talking about? How'd you get in here?
Alias Pearly Valentine. Take it easy. You haven't a thing to worry about. I've come to protect you. Give me the phone. Hello? Never mind about the lock, thank you. Yeah, a long time no see, Georgia.
What do you want, Pearly?
Me? A headline. Your husband wants, too. He wants I should keep an eye on you.
What's that?
Sure. You didn't think Steve and I were acquainted, did you? Yeah, from way back. Just met him at a bar.
I don't believe you. What do you mean, keep an eye on me?
Oh, just in case the creeper. You've heard of the character?
You're mad. You've always been mad, Pearly Chase. Where is he? Why should he send you? Why should he think the creeper will come here? What are you doing here?
I told you, playing along crazy. Got a drink?
You're drunk now and you're getting right out of here. You're nothing but a no-good rummy.
You're nothing but a no-good... you finish it. When I took the drink, it was to drown you out, and you know it. I'm still a rum pot, Angel, which means I haven't got rid of you yet.
Get out.
You little two-timing redhead. You're all the same, you redhead.
Why, you...
You haven't changed, have you? Even a wedding ring can't do that to you. Oh, come on. Don't play the innocent. My business is snooping. I make a living at it. Between drinks. So your new motto's love thy neighbor, huh? Mr. Stone across the hall? Poor dumb Steve.
Why, you dirty...
Sit down, darling. Just play along with me while I play along crazy. Sit down. That's it, just like we're expecting company. Now, I must be crazy doing this. Why wait here for the creeper? Why not 100 other streets, 1,000 other apartments, 1,000,000 other dames? Because I'm riding my hunch, that's why. Let's have some music. Don't just sit. Let's have some music. Turn on the radio. Let's dance. That's it. Now let's dance. Give me your arm. Let's dance. Yes, sir. Just like old times, huh? Around and around, just like my brain. Why are you trembling? I still love you, you little fool. Come on, ask me why. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, you lovely redhead. I could kill you and you deserve it. With the radio on, you could scream and nobody would hear. I could put my hand on your throat like this, see? And I could strangle you.
Charlie, don't!
Why are you crying? Stop it! I'm here to protect you. Stop crying. Cut it, cut it, cut it, cut it. I can't stand it. I never could. Okay. You want me to leave? You want me to leave? All right, I will. It's your funeral. What am I saving you for anyway? Where's my hat? In a few minutes, there'll be a knock or a ring or the door will just open, see? And you'll be lying in a pool of blood just like the other three. Goodbye, my worthless. Give my regards to the creeper.
Look in his eyes, like a madman's. What if he comes back? He wants to kill me. Wants to kill me. Someone wants to kill me. Like the other three. A pool of blood. Like the other three. Like the other three. Any minute now, there'll be a knock or a ring.
This is Jeffrey Barnes again. In just a moment, we'll bring you Act 3 of The Creeper. Thousands of people who suffer the social and business handicap of dandruff are discovering that the way to combat it effectively is with double dandrine. You see, double dandrine is unlike many hair preparations available today, for such products really do no more to fight a common type of dandruff than plain water does. That is, they simply wash loose dandruff away. But double dandrine actually combats this dandruff by killing the germs that many outstanding authorities contend are its cause. And double dandrine kills these germs on contact. Now, a special ingredient named Alzan is the reason for double dandrine's amazing effectiveness. Alzan is an active antiseptic so remarkably efficient, many hospitals use it. And of all hair preparations, only double dandrine has it. So try double dandrine and see if you don't agree that most ordinary hair preparations can't compare with its dandruff combating effectiveness. If you're not satisfied, return the empty bottle and get your money back. Buy double dandrine at your druggist's.
Yes?
This is the doorman, Mrs. Grant.
Yes?
The druggist is here with the medicine. Shall I let him come up?
My medicine? Why, sure, let him... Oh. Now, don't let that man up.
Want me to bring it up?
No, no. No, I'm perfectly all right. I don't need it. You hear? Don't you dare come up to anyone. Locksmith? Oh, please. Please, I must have it changed right away. My lock. My door lock. Yes, this is Mrs. Grant. Yes, I do want it, of course. Anyone can get in here, anyone. They want to murder me, but I don't know who. It's the creeper. You'll come? Right away? Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, but hurry, please. Hurry, I'll go out of my mind. Oh, thank the Lord. What if he doesn't come in time? Like the other three. A pool of blood. Any minute now. There'll be a knock. Or a ring. Who's there?
It's me, dear, Mrs. Stone.
Oh. What do you want?
Why, I've been worried about you. Are you ill?
No. No, I'm all right, Mrs. Stone. I'm feeling fine.
Open up, dear. Don't you want me to keep you company?
No. No, thank you. I was just... Stop it!
Oh, let me in, silly.
No. Go away. I'm going to sleep. Go away. You hear me? Go away. Hello.
Oh, Georgia. You all right?
Oh, Steve. I've been so frantic. It's so good to hear your voice. Where are you?
At headquarters. Coming right home. Sweetheart, is anything wrong? You sound...
Oh, not now. Not when I hear you, Steve. I don't know what came over me all day. I've been imagining things. So silly, my nerves.
Forgive me for this morning, darling. I wasn't myself. My job had me down, but now everything's...
Oh, of course, forgive me, Steve. I've been bad, bad, wicked. Oh, if you know what I've gone through today. The most dreadful state. And then that... Steve, did you send someone here today?
Early Chase.
And you did?
To keep you company. Isn't he still with you?
I know. I just got rid of him.
I wish you hadn't. He's an all right guy, smart reporter. Lives in the neighborhood, too. Honey, I know it sounds cockeyed. I mean, Burley's theory, but I was a bit worried when I got to thinking, so... Listen, Georgia, don't let anyone in the house till I get home.
Oh, I won't, Steve.
Not anyone, do you hear? Not anyone.
Oh. Wait, Steve.
Locksmith. Hello.
Wait, Steve, it's... Oh, thank goodness at last. Now I can breathe easy. Just a minute, dear.
Hello, Georgia. Georgia, hello.
Frank?
Hello. Georgia.
Oh, thank goodness
Georgia,
you've come. Please step in. It's the lock on this door
hello.
I want. Just a moment. My husband's on the phone. Steve?
What happened? Something else I wanted to...
Oh, it's all right. Everything's all right now, Steve. You needn't worry.
Didn't I just hear you talking to someone? Is that someone at the door?
It was no one, Steve. Just Mr. Frank, the locksmith. Oh, what a load of...
The locksmith? Georgia, listen. Listen, Georgia, that's what I was going to tell you.
What is it?
The police are on a new trail. They think maybe a locksmith. Georgia, you listening? It may be that the creeper's a locksmith. Get him out, quick.
What nice lipstick you use, Mrs. Grant. Catch me before I kill more. For heaven's sake.
Hello, City Desk. Pearly Chase. Now shut up and listen. On that creeper story I just gave you, I had this dope. The reward for his capture goes to the elevator boy. He heard Georgia Grant scream and called a cop. The creeper was shot running from the building. Yeah, it's ironical, isn't it? Imagine the locksmith was the killer. The one man Georgia thought would protect her. What an ending to a lovely, lovely redhead.
Now, this is Jeffrey Barnes bringing down the final curtain on tonight's presentation of The Creeper. Join us again next week,
Jeffrey,
when we present a hard-boiled crime story entitled Spanish Blood and written by one of the greatest names in detective fiction, Raymond Chandler.
Mr. Chandler is known to all of you as the writer of the recent hit movie, Murder, My Sweet. So don't miss a real hard-hitting, hard-boiled melodrama next week when we present Raymond Chandler's Spanish Blood.
The original music for the Mole Mystery Theater is composed and conducted by Alexander Sandler. The Creeper was written by Joseph Ruskoll, and Charlotte Manson was featured in tonight's program. This is Dan Seymour saying good night until next Friday at this same time when the Mystery Theater presents Spanish Blood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Oh, NBC. Okay. Okay.
And the redhead became a deadhead, almost.
Yeah. I don't know. We ought to not tune in next week to hear that story about the Spanish fly. I don't think that should... That was very nice.
Spanish fly? Isn't that a beverage? I don't know.
Your turn.
Yeah, Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story, we hope. You know, false security is okay, as long as you're not paying for it.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Yes, it was. Well, at least the way I did it, it was. Gar would have done
that
it
was.
Good. Gar would have done would've. It good.
Just get better, brother. Get better.
Well, I will. GGSI Paper joins us in the chat, too, earlier on in the evening. Thank you, Danny. Thank you. Thank you, one and all. As we're on, what, show number 702, I think it is now? 702?
I'm feeling so old. Thank you so much.
We've been at this for a few minutes.
We have.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the thing is, we wouldn't have half of the Mole Mystery Theaters that we had if it weren't for the Armed Forces Radio Television and their Mystery Playhouse, where they took shows like Inner Sanctum and Mole Mystery Theater and shows like that and gave them their own little openings. And went straight to there without commercials in it because they were for the armed forces. But we wouldn't have about half of the Mole Mystery Theaters if it weren't for the Armed Forces Radio Network. Back then.
I think that can be said for a lot of old-time radio as well. I mean, not just those particular shows.
I think you can be. But there's still plenty of you know, Mr. and Mrs. Norris and Inner Sanctums. There were other things. They did like the mysteries. They did like the mysteries for that playhouse. But but thank goodness they did that because that's how we have so many of these great radio programs that we get to share with everybody right here every weekend.
And I think it's great that they share these stories with the guys over there.
You know what was interesting kind of on this? I was listening to one of our readers was reading a biography of Bob Hope and talked to how he got the movies and how he first time they took the Bob Hope show to a camp. And he didn't really want to do that. He says, drag the whole show to the camp and all the work it's going to entail. Let's just do it from here. And they insisted he went and he didn't realize till he got there with that captive audience how he was talking about things that were directly relating to them, like in his monologue and such.
Yes.
And how it really made him realize that they were using that in laughter to squeeze out a lot of their thoughts of the fears and what was going to happen because these are guys who are in camp to get ready to be shipped overseas and the insecurities that happened with that so.
But again, so Again, we have World War II to thank. Thanks, World War II. Gee, so much good came out of that war.
Well, yeah, okay.
Well, no, a great evil was stopped. You have to, you know.
Yes, but,
But others creeped up. That's all right. The end of it made for good science fiction.
There's always room
movies.
For more evil, I guess. Yeah. That almost sounds like a promo for our next show, but hey, I'll wait for that, for the shameless self-promotion till later in the show.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of time for it, I think, at the end. We got
another episode
from the long and storied run of Suspense. Now, this one was more towards the end of the run as old-time radio started winding down here in the States. This one's called Sleep is for Children. Ooh, this is creeping me out already, considering our topic.
But you know what? Suspense really had two different lives. They were almost two different programs in many ways, because from its inception, it was there and they were good mysteries, but then they got to a point where they were starred different Hollywood people every week. And that happened for, you know, probably at least almost 10 years. And then when radio was going down, television was going up, and they had less money to spend, all of a sudden they were stuck with, you know, your radio actors and such. And with that, the stories actually got better. The stories were great because people were, they had two that starred Ozzie and Harriet. They had one that starred Fibrigay and Molly. They had one that starred, at least one that starred Gene Kelly. They had one that starred Red Skelton. There's so many actors that got there, Milton Berle, some of these people that got to star in dramatic roles that were comedians and Hollywood stars that were throughout that. But then they were rare and upon occasion only once it got into the mid-50s. And the stories, and they also changed to add more science fiction into that, which they didn't do really until at least 54. Start to sprinkle in some science fiction stories. So I think it's kind of cool because it was, in a sense, three different shows and ran a full 20 years.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. And, of course, there was a television adaptation. There were magazines and pulps based on Suspense. And really, I think that's a great title because a lot of things like science fiction, horror, mysteries can all fall under that category of suspense. So it's a great title for a great show that ran a long time. Yep.
Yep.
This one is just as old as Dave and I.
It's true.
The year we was born did in. So the original air date for this episode, Sleep is for Children, is from March 6th of 1960.
And now, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Hello?
In just 1 minute, Sleep is for Children by Ralph Bell and Eugene Francis.
Hello, I'm Burgess Meredith. Did you know there are over 3 million persons in America who are hard of hearing and not doing anything about it? Maybe you or some member of your family is hard of hearing. Well, fortunately, I've never had this problem. Some of my friends and family have. Now, a few years ago, your excuse might have been that you didn't want to wear a bulky hearing aid. But today, it's a different story. I've just seen the new Super 60 hearing glasses developed by Mako Electronics. If I hadn't known they were hearing glasses, I would have guessed them to be regular eyeglasses. It's a wonderful way for any hard of hearing person to conceal a hearing loss. There are styles for both men and women. For an interesting free booklet on hearing glasses for yourself or a friend, stop in at Mako or write to Hearing Glasses, CBS, 485 Madison Avenue, New York. Don't wait until your hearing gets worse. It may be too late. Send for your booklet today. Write CBS, 485 Madison Avenue, New York.
Don't break your glass. You don't even read your books.
I'm going to call the police.
Put the phone back, please. Do as I say.
Mr. Bepler, what are you doing here this time of night?
Well, I'm not here to deliver your egg.
Get out of here. Get out of my house this instant or I'm going to call the police.
I'm afraid you won't get the chance.
What are you going to do?
What I did to the others.
Others? You killed them.
That's right.
But why? Why me?
Because you're all alone tonight, like they were. No, you don't.
No! Please don't! Please!
And for the fourth time last night, the suburban town of Woodlake was the scene of a brutal and meaningless murder. The latest victim was Mrs. Leland Worth, 34 years old, who was found strangled in her living room by police late last night. All four victims have been homeowners in some of Woodlake's recently completed housing developments. Local authorities admitted today that they were still in the dark as to the identity of the vicious marauder. However, the search is...
Local authorities still in the dark. It's just terrible. When are the police going to do something?
Well, they only got 8 men on the force. Woodlake ain't like the big city.
I'm beginning to wish we were back in the big city. At least I felt safe in my apartment at night.
Oh, now, city's no place to bring up a little girl like you or Stephanie. Mr. Gordon working late again tonight?
Yes, it's income tax time. Busiest part of the year for an auditor.
Well, sooner or later, they're going to catch up with whoever's doing these killings, and then everybody can relax. Oh, should I fix Stephanie some breakfast?
You better let me see if I can coax her into opening the bathroom door first.
Oh, that's a real cute trick, locking herself in the bathroom every time she gets mad at you.
Cute. Stephanie? Do you hear me up there?
Well, what that child needs is to get her bottom blistered a few times. She'd stop her foolish...
Stephanie! Unlock that door and come down this minute. Do you hear me? All right, young lady, I'm calling your father.
Hello?
It's me, Walter. How do you feel?
Exhausted, honey. I couldn't get back to sleep after those police sirens woke me last night. And the bump on my head kept throbbing.
I'm sorry, dear. I bawled Stephanie out about leaving her roller skates in the hall like that. So you can just guess where she is now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The bathroom.
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to take the lock off the door. Any news about the murder?
No. Walter, I'm frightened about staying here alone tonight.
Look, Ellen, there's nothing to worry about. I phoned the Woodlake police, and the chief promised to have a special man patrol the entire project all night. Anyway, why don't you ask Rosa to stay over? Or at least until I get home.
Can I speak to Daddy?
Well, at last. Walter, your daughter's finally come out. She wants to speak to you.
Okay, put her on.
Here, Stephanie, now don't talk too long. Daddy's awfully busy. And be sure to put the phone back when you're finished. I'll be in the kitchen.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, sweetie. How's my love?
I'm fine, Daddy.
Well, that's good. Stephanie, take it easy on your mother. Locking yourself in the bathroom is not a nice thing to do.
She yelled at me this morning.
Well, you deserved it, honey. Daddy nearly broke his neck last night stepping on your roller skate.
You bent the skate.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, but...
Oh, Daddy, somebody's at the door. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Stephanie. Stephanie, hang up the phone, darling. Stephanie.
I'll open it, Mommy. Oh, hello, Mr. Bepler.
Your mama home?
Uh-huh.
Well, tell her I've brought her eggs.
Mommy, the egg man's here.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Bepler.
Sorry I'm late, Miss Gordon, but I've been working with the police all morning on that Worth murder.
Well, I didn't know you were on the police force.
Well, I ain't really. Some of us old residents have been deputized temporarily since these things started around here.
Do you have time for a cup of coffee?
Never say no to coffee, Miss Gordon.
Pour a cup of coffee for Mr. Bepler, Rosa.
Sure.
Any idea who did it?
Well, not yet. They're looking for a feller I told them about. I've seen him hanging around these parts.
Well, probably some delinquent from one of these new families.
Could be, Rosa.
Well,
could be.
You know, you was born on that chicken farm of yours, Abel. You You ever remember having trouble like this before all this here building started and those city folks moved out here?
Can't remember nothing more violent than a man beating his wife, or vice versa.
Oh, I tell you, some of these new people, mighty peculiar.
Now, Rosa, that ain't true of everybody. You couldn't ask for anybody nicer than Mrs. Gordon here.
Well, thank you, Mr. Beffler. I just hope you catch that man soon before I'm a nervous wreck.
Oh, he ain't likely to try to break in where there's men folks around. Them last three houses, the women were all alone.
Well, that's just it. My husband's working late these nights. He hardly ever gets home till after midnight.
I see. Well, how about Rosa here keeping you company?
Well, as a matter of fact, Rosa, Mr. Gordon just suggested the same thing.
Oh, now, I'm sorry, Miss Gordon. I already promised Miss McCloskey across the road to stay with her. Her husband's out of town.
Dear.
Well, there's no need to fret, Miss Gordon. The chief just assigned me to patrol this area tonight. I'll be handy should you need me.
In just a moment, we will return for the second act of Suspense.
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips. It's not polite to smack your lips, but you can't help it with Fritos, corn chips. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips.
Whenever you have a party or friends drop in, serve a bowl of crisp Fritos corn chips and watch your guests dig in. They're golden chips of corn just made to munch. Serve them plain or with your favorite dip. There's a special Fritos in a king-size style that's just right for dips.
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos corn chips.
You'll find Fritos corn chips taste just right whenever the occasion calls for good munching. They have such good crisp flavor, such good for you nourishment. There's contentment in every munch. Get Fritos today. F-R-I-T-O-S. Fritos corn chips.
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos corn chips.
Hello. Hello, Stephanie, Ellen, somebody come to the phone.
Phone still tied up, Walter?
Yeah, doggone it. Wait, I hear some voices. There must be no phone.
$1.30, 65 cents this week.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Gordon. And don't worry about tonight. I'll be keeping an eye on
you. Hello, hello. Somebody come to the phone.
Goodbye. Thanks for the coffee.
Oh, hello.
That child. Stephanie, you did it again. You left the phone off the hook.
Hello, Ellen. Hello.
Hello. Walter, is that you? What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm trying to get my phone untied. Stephanie didn't hang up.
Well, why didn't you hang up?
I did 5 minutes ago, but that doesn't disconnect us.
It doesn't. I don't see why not.
It's very simple, honey. The person who makes the call has to hang up. Otherwise, the phones remain connected. I can even hear you talking to someone.
Oh, that was Mr. Beffler who delivers the eggs. He was telling me about the murder. Mrs. Worth was all alone in the house. All the people who've been killed were alone. I wish you'd come home early tonight, Walter. Rosa can't stay with me.
Ellen, I promise you, I'll rush. I'll get there as soon as I can.
Will you keep in touch with me?
Sure, honey. I'll phone every hour, okay?
All right, dear. Bye. Hello?
Hello, darling. Everything all right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Aren't you sure?
Well, I keep hearing strange noises outside, but I guess that's just my imagination. I'll be glad when this night's over.
Stephanie asleep?
Not quite. She's given me quite a day. I'm exhausted. Will you be much longer?
Oh, just a couple of hours.
Well, call me again then, will you, dear?
Sure, honey. Meanwhile, why don't you go to bed, get some rest?
All right, I'll try. I'll lie down with Stephanie. Maybe she'll go to sleep faster that way.
Mommy, you asleep?
Mm-hmm.
Mommy!
What?
I hear noises.
What noises?
I heard glass breaking.
Oh, go to sleep, darling, please.
I heard somebody walking outside.
All right, now Daddy will be home soon.
See?
Who can that be? Yes, I'm coming. Who is it?
It's
me, Miss Gordon, Rosa.
Oh. Rosa, come in. What are you doing here?
Well, Miss McCloskey's husband's from home, so I thought I'd come over to see if you still want me to stay with you.
Oh, yes, I'd appreciate it very much.
I found Stephanie's skates out on the porch. I figured I better bring them in before Mr. Gordon falls over them again.
Thank you. Honestly, when will she ever learn?
Kids are all the same, I guess. I'll put them someplace out of the way. Oh, you mind if I fix some coffee?
No, go right ahead. By the way, Rosa, you didn't see anybody near the house.
No, why?
Well, Stephanie thought she heard something outside.
Oh, might have been me coming up the driveway.
Yeah.
She's still awake?
I've never seen anyone resist sleep, so I better go up to her.
Well, now, just you relax. I'm here, so there's nothing to worry about.
Ah, thank you, Rosa.
Mommy!
Stephanie, I want you to get back into your bed this instant.
Was that Rosa?
Yes. Now, come on. Climb in. Cover up.
You tuck me.
All right. There. Now, good night.
Good night. Mommy.
What?
I'm hungry.
Well, that's just too bad.
Oh, could I just have a glass of milk and a cookie?
No, it's too late.
But I'm hungry.
You won't starve. Now, go to sleep.
Oh.
Rosa, you're all right?
Oh. Mommy.
Hush. Rosa? Is anything wrong? Stephanie, you stay here. I'll be right back.
In a moment, we will return for the third act of Suspense.
Or will she be right back? You'll find out.
One always suspects in these types of stories. Yep.
These last couple stories have been good. Where I feel I'm pretty good at predicting outcomes, and they're throwing me loops here today.
Yep, some Fruit Loops, hopefully, sugar free.
Okay. I don't know what to do with that.
That's always a good scientific question there that good old Bob presented. How did they hide the amplifier tubes in the glasses?
Well, the usual way. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
The
I didn't
usual
know.
Way.
Now I do.
Yes. That's how I get out of it. Oh, the usual way. As one would expect.
How does that usually work? How does that usually work for you?
Not so good. Everybody calls me out. Don't try it at home, kids. Don't try it at home.
That's right. We are professional idiots.
Professional? You're getting paid? I got to see my agent.
No, I'm just that good at it.
All right. Let's wrap up this delightful tale from Suspense. Sleep.
Suspense.
Is for children.
Meet star Stuart Irwin.
Nothing's worse for an actor than a nasty cold. To feel better quickly, I take wonderful four-way cold tablets, the fast way to relieve cold distress.
Best of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. Four-way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains, headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
Take my advice. For your next cold, take four-way cold tablets, the fast way to relieve those cold miseries.
Four-way, only 29 cents.
Our
program will continue in a moment after a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. Does dandruff dull your hair, leave scalp itchy? Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo and get rid of unsightly dandruff in 3 minutes. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting hair. Rub in 1 minute. Add water. Lather 1 minute. Rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch. Unsightly dandruff gone. Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo.
And for kids, son of Fitch.
Rosa? Rosa, where are... Ah! What are the skates doing on the floor again? Rosie in the kitchen? Rosa! Rosa, what happened?
Don't stay here. He's in the house.
I'll get help, Rosa. I'll...
Mommy, where are you?
Stephanie, don't come in here. Stephanie?
Mommy!
What is it? What happened?
The roller skate. I came down after you and I tripped on the roller skate.
Hush. Come on, get up.
But it hurts.
Please, Stephanie, stand up. We've got to get out of here.
No.
As I say.
No, you let go on it.
Quiet.
Ow. You hit me.
Well, I'm sorry. Where are you going? Come back here.
I'm going to lock myself in the bathroom and I'm never coming out.
Stephanie, come back.
Don't go after her, Miss Gordon.
Mr. Bepler. Oh, Mr. Bepler, thank goodness. How did you get in here?
Through the window.
Oh. It's you. You...
No sense trying to run, Miss Gordon. I'll just have to take it out on your little girl.
Oh, you wouldn't.
Don't answer it. Keep away from that phone.
It's probably my husband, Mr. Bepler. You better let me answer it.
All right. All right, you talk to him, but just remember, you let on anything's wrong, and your little girl pays for it.
Hello?
Hello, dear. Just calling again, as I promised. Everything all right?
Yes, Walter.
Good. I'm almost through here.
I can't find that voucher, Walter.
Well, is it in the file?
No, sir.
Honey, hold on a minute. I'll be right back.
Hang up.
But he...
Hang up.
He didn't finish talking. He'll only call back.
Yeah. Well, I'll just take the phone off the hook, and then he'll get nothing but a busy signal.
Why, Mr. Pepler? Why are you doing this? What harm have I done you?
Harm? You're crowding me, all of you newcomers. Hedging me in, bulldozing the trees down, spoiling the land with your fancy new cigar box houses, bankrupting us all with your taxes for schools and roads and such.
My taxes have gone up double since you city people started flooding in here. That's the kind of harm you done me.
Joe, finish that. We'll call tonight. Hello, Alan. I'm sorry.
Well...
Hello.
Maybe when people like you find it ain't safe here...
Hello.
You'll go back where you came from.
Alan.
That's why I killed Mrs. Worth and the others. And I'll keep on killing till you're all gone.
Good Lord. Alan. Hello. Hello, operator. For heaven's sake, operator. Hello.
In just a moment, we will return for the concluding act of... Suspense. Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice-cold Pepsi-Cola. And because it's light, it refreshes without filling.
Charlie, be sociable.
I am, Kay. Pepsi is a favorite of thirsty people from Maine to Hawaii, from Alaska to Florida.
Charlie.
It's perfect for parties or picnics. So serve Pepsi to your guests.
That's helpful, but...
This is the sociable part. Keep plenty of Pepsi ice cold and ready. Remember, it goes fast because everybody likes Pepsi.
Singing still sounds more inviting. May I?
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
But singing doesn't say, pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Better yet, get a case.
You do that.
Why, Rosa, Mr. Bepler, she was born here in Woodlake, like yourself. Why kill her?
I didn't expect to find her here. She saw me and she'd have told. Now, there's no use your backing away. Where are you going to run?
Please, Mr. Bepler.
See, you nearly tripped over that skate.
I'll just put it out on the porch where it belongs.
Sure, and start hollering for help. Come here.
Let go. Oh. Mr. Bepler. Get away from here. Stephanie, where are you? Answer me, where are you? Stephanie, come out of the bathroom quickly. Stephanie, unlock the door. Hurry.
No.
Please.
You
threaten me. Stephanie, there is no time to explain. Now open the door before it's too late.
No, I'm going to stay in here all night.
Please, Stephanie, please.
I didn't do anything. You hit me.
Stephanie, I am sorry, and I'll never punish you again, darling. Just unlock the door.
You promise?
Yes, I promise. Now hurry, we've got to get away from here.
You ain't going nowhere.
Stephanie! Don't turn the lock. Don't come out. Stay in there.
It won't do her no good. Who the devil?
Gordon, please.
Police! I'm getting out of here.
Hey, there he goes. Through that window. Stop where you are. Hold! Mrs. Gordon? Mrs. Gordon?
I'm up here.
Are you all right, Mrs. Gordon?
Yes, officer.
Your husband called us and we got here as soon as we could. He heard you and Bepler over the phone.
But he took the phone off so there'd be a busy signal.
That's where Bepler made a mistake. The connection isn't broken until the calling party hangs up.
Mommy! Mommy!
Oh, you're a little girl all right?
Yes, officer.
Mommy!
It's all right, dear. You can come out now.
I can't turn the lock. It's stuck. I'm locked in.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Suspense. You've been listening to Sleep is for Children, a story written for Suspense by Ralph Bell and Eugene Francis. In a moment, the names of our players and a word about next week's story of Suspense.
Are you all out of tune because you're irregular? Then help yourself get back in tune with Kellogg's All Brand.
That was Jack Benny.
You'll feel right on pitch when Kellogg's All Brand goes gently to work. Relieves constipation due to lack of bulk by supplying your system with bulk-forming whole bran. Yes, a daily bowlful of Kellogg's All Bran with milk helps put you right back in tune. The natural way. The good-tasting way, too. Fact is, Kellogg's All Bran is the one brand cereal that combines proved effectiveness with appetizing taste and crispness. It never gets mushy in milk. So remember, if constipation's a problem, gentle it away, as millions do, with Kellogg's All Bran. The good food way to keep regular as clockwork. ALL-BRAN. Kellogg's All Brand. At your grocer's.
I recommend a bottle of Tabasco sauce will also take care of that. We'll have no more problems.
Heard in tonight's story were Elspeth Herrick as Ellen Gordon, Ralph Bell as Walter Gordon, Bill Adams as Mr. Bepler, and Betty Gard as Rosa. Others in our cast were Ruth Tobin and Sarah Fussell.
Betty Gard? I didn't know Gard had a sister named Betty.
Damn.
Who knew?
Things you learn on your health.
Listen again next week when we return with The Revolution by Peter Fernandez. Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense.
Be sure to tune in next week and every week to Suspense on CBS Radio.
For as long as it lasts. Your turn.
Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garless moral of the story.
Or actually a Gar's garless moral of the story.
True.
And this one comes to us from Gar. A barred passage usually doesn't include alcohol. But maybe it should, huh? Maybe it should.
A barred passage? Is that like William Shakespeare Avenue?
No. A bard. The other kind. Hey! We got a caller on line one, Dale.
Gee, oh my gosh, goodness, who could it be with 4 minutes and 40 seconds remaining? Who could have crept into Erie House?
Who could it possibly be with 4 minutes and 40 seconds remaining? It's CW. Greetings, solicitations, salutations, and embarkations.
And indentations. But no flatulations. It's our lovely and delightful plague doctor herself, CW.
Hello.
With incarnations, yes.
Yes.
Incarnations. A white sport coat.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you. So everyone say aw, aw. Oh, and really choke you up. Aw. And here's your bill. That'll really choke you. The doctor. Dr. Bill.
Yep.
Yes, I am liking this. But that little kid sounds a lot like Franny Bryce's character.
I hadn't thought of that, but yes, she does sound somewhat like it. Yes.
I would have fed the kid to the killer. I'm sorry. That kid was annoying. So you don't want to behave, do you?
Yeah, but then again, that's cruel and unusual punishment. No, take the kid back. I confess.
Yeah.
Lock me up.
That annoying kid might break the killer down. Who knows?
Yep.
The mean widow kid could do it.
An O. Henry story. Wasn't that an O. Henry story, like the kidnapping of Red Chief or something like that, and they end up giving something to take the kid back?
I don't know. The last O. Henry, I ate it.
Oh, you did. Well, you know.
There's a blast from the past. I haven't seen an O. Henry bar in forever.
A blast from the past.
Yeah. Do they even make those?
I don't know.
You probably have to buy them online at a specialty shop or something.
You have to see a professional chocolatier.
A chocolatier.
Chocolate for you, Charlie. No chocolate. I love the way he says that.
Ew.
Christopher.
Okay,
Lee.
He's got an everlasting gobstopper. That'll ought to last him.
Hey, none of that cussing on the air, Dave. I thought we agreed that we were going to do this.
My.
Just a slip of the tongue.
You take your everlasting gobstopper and. No, I don't know what that guy is. Tomorrow night! Tomorrow! CBS Radio Mystery Theater's Journey into Terror, as we just choke up a little bit more. Show 703. Tomorrow, 6:30 Eastern, and right after, hopefully, if he's feeling better, Horrible Horror starring Guy the Ghoul. If not, he'll probably put up a rebroadcast.
Feel better, Gar. Feel better.
Yes. Positive vibes. Want to thank GGSI Paper, good old Bob, and fabulous Fogsbane for showing up tonight for some old-time radio, and you made it just in time, Ms. W. We appreciate that, too.
We do.
And we will see you tomorrow night after this brief message from the great one, Mr. V. I call him Vinny. Price.
Oh.
Yep.
Vinny.
Now, don't forget, Vince.
The lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her, too.
When next we meet in Frankenstone,
watch it.
Damn it.
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
You bet I did.
You bet.
We'll be shoveling off.
Oh, yeah.
doorknob got me in the worst of places.
Did it? Wow.
A fun
and yet
show.
Your voice is still the same. Lots of good strangulations there. For those of you who are listening here in the archive, that came as a joke that Dale and Gar were trying to pull on me during one show. So I went ahead and got four strangulation stories together for tonight. So if you have an idea, please send it to Erie House. We can theme up a lot of things, a lot of things.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if upon request, Dave already had one concocted because he's got about a year's worth. At least.
Oh, you haven't seen the new list, Dale.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A new one's coming out pretty soon. It looks like we only got a couple more weeks on this one. Yeah, the one I'm looking at. So it turned out the creeper that we heard tonight from Mole Mystery Theater, no, not the same story as the one with Rondo Hatton. Not the same creeper.
Okay.
Now, in that story, he was a he was a normal-looking guy, a football player or something like that. And one of his buddies went on to be successful, and I forget what happened to him that made him look. In real life, it was Akram Egaly, but I don't know what happened. I forget what happened in the movie. I think a car accident maybe or something. And he became bitter because everybody else became successful and got the breaks that he felt he should have got. And he became this, like, strangler guy. But it's a bittersweet story in a way, too, because he breaks into this one apartment. And it's a blind girl who's not afraid of him because she can't see him. You know, Rondo Hatton was, a very unique-looking dude. And she had sympathy for the beast, as it were.
Yeah.
It's actually a good low-budget movie. Very, very charming in a way.
Yeah.
And yet creepy. And you sort of had some pathos for the killer, but... like I said, pretty good. Something you should check out if you haven't.
Sounds like a plan.
I wish it were PD. But that would be great.
Yeah.
If not, not yet, really.
No, I don't believe so.
I tell you, some of these producers or directors or leftover bits and pieces of studios, they will hold on to that little bit of nothing onto their hands.
Well,
I mean,
maybe it's still an income stream for them somewhere. In a way, I feel for them. You know what I mean?
Well, there's that.
I like to see the original artists get theirs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it'd be nice if we got to play with more of them.
I know. But then there's, you know, the big mega giga conglomerates, you know, that will never, ever, ever, nonetheless, you know, in the next dimension or whatever, see Steamboat Willie for free because the mouse that roared won't let go.
Ah, yeah.
There's that. But, you know, people who, you know, have no connection with the original movie, I mean, they're all gone or they never had any contracts and somebody signs something and grabs it up.
Who knows? Maybe the kids are milking the empire.
For all they can get.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows indeed?
You know, it's hard. It would be hard for someone to follow with the same passion as the parent, you know, of founding of a business. There's been exceptions like Mel Blanc Jr. I think he approached doing voice work, much like his father.
Yeah.
Noel Blanc, yeah.
Yep.
Was it Frank Herbert who created the Dune series of books and stories? I think his son is carrying that on. He's doing that. I haven't read any of his continuations of the Dune series. I haven't heard any complaints about it, so he must be doing all right.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's that. Who else? Tolkien's son is Well, he's still raking in all the cash that Lord of the Ring movies, the umpteen trillion gazillion dollars that franchise made.
Yeah, that they did.
Oh, no, I don't hold it against them to rake in the cash.
Yeah, get it while you can. It's very hard in the entertainment business.
Yeah, it is. But as for a theme that Dave is looking for,
Dave got dropped.
Oh.
We lost Dave. Yeah, it's just you and me.
Dave. Okay,
yep.
Dave. Oh. What happened, Dave? Did computer go boom?
Yeah, I just told him I can't dial out either, otherwise I'd try to bring him back in. But once you're out in the after party.
Oh, that's right. You can't get back in. Crumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he has all these delicious, delectable scenes to get back at you. Strangulation this weekend. Something about... let's see, a bullseye painted on you somewhere. A bullseye, X marks the spot.
What, for themes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the maniacal machinations one can come up with.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dave's got a lot of stuff in here. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's everything from submarines to mummies.
Submarines, mummies. Well, it's Mummies Day. It's coming soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That would be a good day for mummy stories. You know when a mummy ripped you off, don't you?
No. What?
When he gypped you.
Oh, these are my fingers coming through cyberspace, going around your shirt. Oh, I got the kitty. Yes, there it is.
Oh, good. More Hitchcock coming along the way someday. Sunken treasure.
Oh,
more space
yeah.
stories.
Yeah.
The pen is mightier than the sword. More UFOs.
Ooh.
What were the two topics you suggested just now?
Let's see. I'm not seeing maniacal neck. Oh, mummy. Mummy for Mummy's Day. That
mummy
was one.
For Mummy's Day. Now, you mentioned two others, though, off the top of your head that you were diabolically laughing about.
Oh, thank you. A bullseye. X marks the spot. Something to that.
Something of that effect? Oh. I'll bet there's something in here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. Oh, there's the mummy weekend. Another mummy weekend.
Is Dave online? I mean, is he in the other chat?
He's been Facebooking a little bit in our little group chat.
Just want to make sure he's all right. You know, no one, you know, the Eggman didn't come breaking into the window. You know. He's not all alone, is he?
I'm inviting you're missing the beer. That was mean.
Oh, wow.
If you want to be mean to me, say you're missing the food. No! It would be like a heartbreak. Oh, he answered. Drat. Oh, the beer.
You want to be mean to me, say you're missing the braised tofu. Oh, man.
I think that part I don't... Sorry, I'm a meat eater, so I don't think I'd miss out too badly on the tofu.
Why, you carnivore, you?
Yeah, I am. I'm a terrible carnivore.
Well, remember, when you start barbecuing this season, don't forget to grill some veg.
Oh, I do. I love grilled vegetables. I absolutely love it. Put a little olivio, a little olive oil on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then just char them up a little bit. Good time.
And charred lemon. A little charred lemon on the side. Put that on there.
Yeah. I like taking a big, like a big, big wedge of, big wedge of zucchini. I bet you can make a nice zucchini sandwich out of one of those. Put it on a bun.
You can. Oh, and a big, one of those huge monster mushrooms. If you one of those are really meaty. They're very meaty in texture. And the grilling with the olive oil and brings out that wonderful char flavor on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
Oh, you're killing me.
Yeah.
I want this now. Yeah. Stop it.
There you go. There's another theme for food.
You diet killer, you.
Killer cuisine.
Mm. Nah, but I like mushrooms. And when I am having a small steak or something on the grill, I'll cook some mushrooms and make a little bit of mushroom gravy.
Very tasty mushroom gravy.
And I've made mushroom soup too. Oh, good stuff.
Oh, mushroom soup.
But I don't like have to have meat. I just like it, you know. But like, I make some good vegetable dishes.
There you are. There you are. See, that's the only reason I don't go mushrooming. I just don't trust it. I mean, there's too many. The poisonous mushrooms will look like the tasty mushrooms. You know, there's another thing for the show. Let's go mushroom hunting.
Yeah, I don't have the guts to do that because you can only do it wrong once.
That's pretty much it.
You only pick bad mushrooms one time, and that's it. Yeah, you know. There's not a learning curve for it, other than by observing other people.
Yeah. Here, try that. Oh.
Here, you try it.
Why are you turning blue?
I'm not going to try it. You try it. Let's get Mikey.
Let's get Mikey. He doesn't like anything. But after this, it won't matter.
Yeah, because Mikey was annoying like the kid in our show today.
No kidding. Wow.
Sorry about your luck, kid. That's how you feel. You don't have to come out of the closet.
I wonder if we have National Poison Day. That would be nice.
National Poison Day?
We've got a national day for everything else.
Yeah, true. I would think not. But who knows? That'd be amusing to find out. National Poison Day. This week it's Henbane.
Henbane. This week it's arsenic.
So many ways to poison. Did you read about, I guess, some dentist slowly poisoned his wife to death?
Where was this?
Oh, I saw it in the news. I can't remember exactly where the feed that came across. I think Colorado, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. Oh,
a dentist in Colorado tried poisoning his wife a little at a time. And like he schemed it. It was over a long period of time to try to minimize the opportunity to get caught.
What was he too?
It didn't work out so good.
They have a community property in Colorado or something.
No idea. I just didn't read it in detail, but the gist of it was.
I found out. Yeah. Maniacal. Yes, that's another reason not to trust your dentist. Yes, thanks a lot for making dentistry all the more appetizing.
Dentists don't bother me too much. Like, I guess maybe my teeth aren't as sensitive as other people's.
I'm just not a sensitive man,
even when you go in there, they'll find just a little tiny bit of something. They have a teeny tiny little bit of plaque way over in the corner there, and they get a belt sander out.
A belt
sander. And you hear that. What the
Yeah, a lot of people cringe at that sound.
It's akin to rusty nails on an old-fashioned chalkboard.
Oh, yeah. I used to love doing that to people. With the chalkboard? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not for no
actually,
reason. They had to provoke me, and then it's like, all right, if this is the only way I can get at you.
Oh, my gosh. And guess what the 8th of June this year will be? It falls on a Thursday. The 8th of June is National Name Your Poison Day.
Name your what?
National Name Your Poison Day.
Oh, God. They do have a day for everything, don't they?
Yep. An expression used to describe your drink of choice. So, you know, name your poison.
Oh, God. Name your poison. I love it.
So there's another theme for a show. National Name Your Poison Day.
That'd be a game show. Name Your Poison.
Your poison. Right.
I'm your host, Wink Martindale.
Yeah. With our lovely Rita Lee.
There you go.
Yeah, but yeah, name your poison. There's a song. What is that? Name your poison. What is that from? Oh, it's from that Alan Arkin, Christopher Lee, The Return of Captain. Talk about a movie that's not in public domain, which should be.
I don't know.
Yeah, the movie was the movie score was written by the fellow who did Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting.
And if you go on YouTube and look up that movie, I'm getting it right now because. Christopher Lee singing. It's got that wonderful, rich, deep baritone voice he had.
Oh, he's the greatest.
Yeah. And Alan Arkin is a pretty good singer as well.
That's, I find, surprising. Didn't know that.
No, he used to have a singing group. Oh,
really?
It's the return. Yeah. It's called The Return of Captain Invincible from 1983. The Return of Captain Invincible.
I'm invincible.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
I was not aware of this fine production.
yes, indeed. It's out there. Let's see. And he had a band that. Where is it here in the description? Oh, yeah. He had a band that sang. He co-wrote the 1956 hit, The Banana Boat Song, a Jamaican calypso folk song, which became better known as Harry Belafonte's popular version. It reached number 4 in the building. That's him. Day-o. So he co-wrote that song. Daylight come and we want to go home. I remember that from Beetlejuice.
I was going to say that was used so well in that movie.
Oh my gosh, that was incredible.
And the shrimp and everything, it was great.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
That was just tremendous. Where did I first see? I first saw Beetlejuice. We got married on Maui, all right? So flying from Cleveland to Maui, it's like a really long day. It's like, I don't know, it was nonstop going there. So it was like, I don't know, 10 hours up in the air. It's like just a really long day. And when you're young, that's not a big deal. But coming back is where you get your jet lag. Oh, my word. you are like so tired because you're going against the rotation of the earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So instead of a long day, it's like you're traveling between times and whatever. It messes you up. And I remember we were tired to the point of being giddy. And it was a relatively new movie, and they showed it on the plane. And that's the first place I saw Beetlejuice, and it was hilarious. I'll never forget that.
All airline movies were as entertaining. I wonder back in the day if they ever showed the movie was taken off from Airport, one of the Airport movies. That would really instill confidence.
Yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please relax and enjoy. For your entertainment pleasure, we will be presenting Mr. Burt Lancaster, Mr. Dean Martin, and Jacqueline Bisset in the movie Airport.
Airport. Oh, that same trip to Hawaii. On the way to Hawaii, they give you headsets, you know, and they had a couple different channels you can listen to. One blew my mind because I happened to be wearing a sweatshirt. It was still cool in Ohio, of The Ghoul, you know, Channel 61's The Ghoul. So I put on these headsets, and what do I hear? Comedy bits from Ernie Anderson and what's his name? From Carol Burnett's show.
Tim Conway, Harvey Korman.
Conway from our area. Tim Conway and Ernie Anderson doing these early comedy bits from like the early 60s. It was great. It was before Conway was known, you know. Mm-hmm. It was great stuff. Great stuff. I just felt, looking back, what were the odds? What were the odds? Because that stuff I didn't even know existed. And I'm like, wow, what the hell? This is glory.
Cool. Hmm.
Yep.
Listen, I must be away.
So must I.
Tomorrow. So I will fulfill my duty since, you know, sorry, Dave, you're not here, but I will tell Mr. Durante to dedicate this one just for you.
Good night.
We love you, Dave.
has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.